This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app. No matter where you are, you can always take Em and Warren with you.
It is 13 minutes to 6.
Now, Melbourne's most intriguing and inspiring venues are opening their doors to the public to experience in person for the first time since 2019. That's right. The weekend of July 30 and 31 is one of the largest programs in Open House Melbourne's history and the first in-person Open House Melbourne weekend in 3 years. And architect Peter Madison, also known as the host of Grand Designs Australia, joins us in the studio. Peter, welcome to Joy Drive.
Thanks, Warren.
It's lovely to have you.
Thank you.
I didn't say anything, but you are welcome.
Now, the Pride Centre here, the Victorian Pride Centre, as an architect and the host of Grand Designs Australia, yes. What do you think of it?
No pressure, Warren. No pressure. Look, it is an incredible undertaking, this building, and it's so fitting. It is where it is, right here in the heart of St Kilda. And I think that the form of the building is very anthropomorphic. It's very animal-like, and it's sort of like this beast that's alive and living. There's not a straight line in it, you know, and it's challenging, it's exciting, and it has a sort of a very grand presence in the community here. So I think it's absolutely extraordinary, and my two very good friends, James Brearley and Grant Amon, were the architects for this project.
Fantastic.
And I know it means a lot to them, and I know it means a lot to this community. So it's well-placed, it's an exciting building, and I've only just walked through it for the first time, but it's gobsmackingly extraordinary.
Peter, I wonder, do all architects know each other?
Good. Look, it is a tight community. There's a couple of thousand of us here in Victoria. I think it's 5,000 architects in Australia. But because we're looking over our shoulder at what each other's doing, we tend to know what's happening. And it's a great community to be in because we all collaborate. And there's not a lot of animosity between us. And so we share this common goal of trying to make life better for us and for everyone else. So there's a camaraderie and a sense of purpose that binds us together.
Lovely.
Peter, Open House Melbourne is on. How important is it that the public be able to explore some of our most iconic buildings?
Yeah, we're back in person. How good's that?
I know.
We're not digital. Last year, we're all digital. Online, it was pretty spooky. And it's just great to be, you know, feet on footpath, able to touch and scratch and smell these marvellous places that are open to us Melburnians, Victorians. We have a couple of hundred venues open this year. The program's growing and growing each year, and very exciting places. So it's just so good to be back in person and real.
Are there any places that are your favourite and that we probably should book early? Because I know some of them, I think was at the Manchester Unity building, always was difficult to get into.
It was, yeah. And it is a case of first in, best dressed for some of the venues. Some of them take great numbers and others are quite modest in size and can't take great numbers. So you need to go online to openhouse.org.au. openhouse.org.au and book in if you want to go to these more intimate places. I've just done an article last night for Time Out magazine, actually, and I had to quote my top five destinations. Ooh. And everyone's got their favourites. These just happen to be mine. Brighton Council offices, right in the heart of Brighton, designed by Kevin Knight, who was working for Oakley and Parks at the time. Great mid-century building. A lot of people think it's influenced by the Guggenheim in New York, but it's not, because I met the architect, Kevin, who's sadly passed away now. But great building, very exciting. It's got Grant Featherston furniture in original condition through it. So if you're a mid-century nut like me, it's a must-go to. A good mate of mine, John Wardle, has done some great architecture in this city, and his offices are open. So if you ever wonder what an architect's office looks like from the inside, he's opened up his studio, and he's designed an amazing studio that's become more of an urban design than an individual office. It's a whole precinct he's designed. So that's great. Ian Potter Centre at Southbank. is Melbourne Conservatorium of Music, again designed by John Mortal Architects, an extraordinary building in the Arts Precinct. I don't know whether you've been past it. The facade looks like a piano lid kind of opening and closing. It has these round tiles scattered in the facade. There's lots of beautiful details, and if you haven't seen that building, strongly recommend it. And the last two would be Government House. You know, if you're a Victorian, you have to go to Government House and experience the ballroom and the grand staircase, designed by William Wardell in 1876. Great building, more of a classical building, but it's open. And finally, a Mission to Seafarers, which is on the Yarra River.
Oh, yes.
It's kind of an arts and crafts building. I don't know whether you know. Designed by Walter Butler in 1914. It's totally intact, including the chapel. And the pulpit that the priest stood in and stands in today is the shape of a square rigger boat, all hand-carved in timber. So it has these wonderful, iconic sea references through the whole building. Great building to go to. So lots to see.
Yeah, they all sound incredible. Peter, how does Open House Melbourne work? Like, do people bring their building to Open House Melbourne and then, you know, there's some sort of selection process, or...?
We'll take anyone that wants to open up.
Great. So, like, literally, my house could be on it.
Yes, yes. We have individual houses. But I guess they're buildings that have some recognition architecturally.
Okay, so my building couldn't be on
it. Or cultural significance, maybe. I don't know. Maybe. I've just met you for the first time. But, yeah, for instance, there's a house on the program that I did on Grand Designs, a passive house in North Coburg. And there's a lost piece of land next to a railway line, unbuilt on, in fact, for 150 years, and this German couple, the Bernsteins, took it on, built a passive house. We followed it on the show. It burnt down a few weeks before they would move in. They accidentally put it on, put the torch to it when they were finishing the house up, putting some detailing into the... They had a blowtorch finishing off some bituminous membrane, waterproofing, and accidentally the house caught on fire.
Oh, nice.
They've rebuilt it, and it's won architectural awards. It's an extraordinary undertaking and shows what can happen in this city on pieces of land that most people think were rubbish. So there are projects like that, which are intimate, residential, but you need to book into that one.
Right.
I love hearing the passion coming from an architect about the buildings and why we should go and see them. But you know what, having an engineering background, and one of my favourite places was the substation below ground, the electrical substation, just off Bourke Street. I mean, getting a tour through that, through Open House, was just amazing.
Yeah, in Russell Place.
Yeah, Russell Place, that's right. Yeah,
that's a very hot venue to get into. I'm not actually sure whether that's on the program this year. I haven't noticed it. There's 200. I can't remember them all, but go online and have a look.
You're doing a pretty good job so far.
But it is, the program is about people being able to access places like that, that are kind of mystical, heard of but not seen.
You don't even know they're there.
No, and this program makes this city visible, and it's FREE.
Free.
That four-letter word.
Four-letter F word.
That's the one.
The best F word, in my opinion. Peter, let's turn to Grand Designs Australia. It's had 10 seasons now. What changes have you seen in design over that period of time?
Yes. So it's become, particularly during COVID, more retrospective, more considered and less extravagant. There's a greater emphasis on sustainability. It's always been part of the agenda, but now it's not a bolt-on, it's a must-have. I'm still unfortunately getting houses that must have or are compelled for some reason to be large and have butler's pantries and media rooms and underground cellars, which just completely mystifies me. But there is still that look part of the community that sees that as important. But look, I think there's a reversion to kind of the 70s touchy-feely, more organic forms and materials. I'm sitting in your studio touching a timber bench. And that's influencing the way I feel. It's called biophilic design. So people have a natural affinity and are owning up to being in a natural environment. It's being able to see long distance, see some greenery, and be around natural materials. So I think that sort of thing is what people are latching on to.
Peter, I went out and visited a friend out in the outer suburbs last weekend, and all the houses to me looked almost like they were cookie cutter houses, all very much the same. And then they were planting all these sort of what I would consider noxious weeds in their gardens, and they're sort of encroaching on the native environment out there. Do we need to rethink our approach to mass housing, particularly as you've just mentioned sustainability as well, and biophilic design? You know, that need to be in touch with nature as well. What can we do in terms of our suburban growth?
Yeah, and it's a great question, because it's something that's peculiar to Melbourne is the urban spread. We're about 140 kilometres east to west, one of the largest spreading cities in the world. We have the largest on average houses in the world, and we don't do mid-rise very well. We either do flat rise, it's one or two stories, or we're compelled to do 30 stories. So there's a great need for mid-rise, in my opinion. The great cities of the world that we all love to go to, Paris, Rome, where there's, you know, they're consistent 4 to 7 stories, where you can still wave to someone in the street and they can see your face, and yep. and you're still in touch with the treetops. I think that's a great model, and I'm thinking that's the way our city is starting to go around the transport hubs, perhaps not in Camberwell, but yep. in the other suburbs. And so there's great but look, the problem is we've got this flat land that's reasonably cheap, and everyone still has the aspiration of having the quarter acre block with the backyard and the front yard and kicking the footy in the backyard and having the barbecue and the pool. So that's got to change, and it is slowly.
Peter, we have so many more questions, but unfortunately we've run out of time.
Oh, come
time.
On, it's getting going.
We'll have to get you back and talk more about it. But Open House Melbourne is on the weekend of July 30 and 31. So don't forget, the Victorian Pride Centre is one of the buildings that is open. And for more information, head to openhousemelbourne.org. Peter, thank you so much for coming into Joy Drive.
You're welcome. Get aboard with Open House. It's the theme this year is built, unbuilt. It challenges you as to what makes a building. So encourage you to get involved. It's just a great program.
Fantastic, Peter. Thank you. Peter Madison, architect and host of Grand Designs Australia.
The best bits of Joy Drive with Em and Warren. No matter where you are, you can always take Em and Warren with you.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.